You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Colossians 1:7. And so we want to continue in our series going through the book of Colossians. This series, you know, the supremacy of Christ, or it's all about Jesus. And so we want to kind of go into some nuts and bolts of church life tonight and deal with some good stuff. Amen. I want to say, just before we read the scripture, every church is built up within some segments. Every church, any healthy church, should I say, should have these three segments. And so what it would have is, it would have a crust, which is the outer, it would have a crowd, and it would have a core. And so every healthy church will have elements of these three things in the church. It has a crust, it has a crowd, it has a core. So if you're those who take notes, that you can crust, crowd, core, all C's. But the crust, as we talk about, what we're talking about is people that are on the outskirts of the church. These are people that come on and off to the church. These are people that they don't participate in anything. And really and truly, we do not see that any part of their life is really changed by them coming to church. They just come to church. They're the crust. Every church has these type of people. They come to church now and again. They come to church, but even though they may come to church now and again, their life really hasn't changed outside of church at all. Their life, there is really no big evidence that Jesus is Lord of their life. They're what you call the crust. Now, I'm not saying they're crusty. I'm just saying it's crust. They're on the outside. We would say that's the crust. Then a church will have the core. Sorry, then we'll have the crowd. And the crowd is the next level in. And so if you imagine, we're looking at, you've cut something like a pear in half. Not a pear. No, that was a bad example. I meant a peach. Amen. There you go. They're both with P. Praise God. And so you cut it in half. You would see the skin. You would see the meat of the pear. And then you see that center bit. And so right now we're in the meat of it. And we're saying that's the crowd. The crowd, these are people that come to most events. These are people that are saved. They are saved. They've given their life to Jesus. These are people that come and they enjoy the service. They enjoy the ministry that we have. They enjoy the worship. They may attend a home group, maybe, but they enjoy. But the big thing about the crowd is that they are receiving a lot more than they're giving. They receive a lot from the church. They receive the preaching week in and week out. They receive the messages. They're receiving the word of God being expounded. They receive all of the ministry that's put together in the church. But they're not really giving that much. They're not really participating in events that build the church. This is the crowd. Every church has it. The crust, the crowd, and the core. The core are those that not just attend what the church is doing, but they participate in the building of the church. These are the core people. These are people that not just receive ministry, but they actually give ministry. Let me give you an illustration here. You think about it now, like the ushers. If the ushers didn't come and set up this room, or the praise and worship, or the nursery workers, or the ladies that come and help the clean of the building, or the people that would come and help with the hospitality, those things would not be done. Those are core people, because what they're doing is they're making the church function. See, the core is the engine of the church. The core is the engine. If you know anything about science and the planet that we live on, you would know that really and truly, what is the engine of the planet is the core. It's that core that enables there to be a magnetic force around. Otherwise, we would be bombarded with these rays from the sun. But it's the core. You look into it if you don't know. And just as the church, it is the core that actually makes the church function. Now, every church should have these three things in them. Now, as a young pastor, I would have liked everybody to be core. And everybody's going to be core, and that's my whole church is just going to be core. There's going to be no crowd and no crust. But I've been in ministry a little while now, 10 years this year, and I realized that any healthy church has all of those three elements to it. Why? Because when people come into the church, that's where they first come. They're first at the crust. They're at the outer bits. And so the crust is either you're coming in or you're going out. And then we have the crowd. People are coming in and they become crowd. They're now faithful. They're actually saved. They're enjoying the sermon. They're enjoying what's going on. Then there is core. They get into ministry. So the journey of a Christian is for you to move from the crust to the core. That is the journey of all of you, to move from the crust to the core. You came in, you wasn't automatically in the core. I wasn't automatically in the core. But you should be moving inward, and the church should be supplying and facilitating movement for you to come in and start to bit by bit by bit by bit. It shouldn't be that you've been affiliated with our church for years and you're still at the crust. There should be an inward movement of going from crust to crowd to core. The scary thing is that sometimes people have gone from crust to crowd to core to crowd to crust. I want to preach a sermon, Journey to the Core. And we want to speak about facilitating and helping people to make it to the core. Look at someone say, you've got to make it to the core. I don't know if you meant that when you said it, but we're going to take it. Colossians 1 verse 7, the Bible says this, as you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just pray right now. You would speak to us. You would help us. Father, I pray that you would break down your word, Father, into bite-sized pieces so that we could digest it and it would change us. It would nourish us. It would add strength to us. It would enable us to grow. Father, we know that it's your word that brings strength and anointing. Lord, I pray right now, most of all, that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, just as a recap, because we haven't really gone into this book for a few weeks now, but the last thing we kind of looked at with the Colossians was that here are these people that really love God, really trust God, and they really have been touched by the power of the gospel. That's where we ended it. And what we found out is that Paul starts this text by saying, as you also learn from Epaphras. And so Paul is actually saying, the reason why you guys are on fire for God and the reason why you guys are deep in the gospel is that you've learned it from this guy, Epaphras. And I want to say that there are things that we need to learn from this guy, Epaphras. He's a faithful man. We understand that he's a core man. We understand that this man has brought fruit. When you study the book of Colossians, that he is a man who has actually seen people saved from his ministry and strengthened from his ministry. That he has actually strengthened the church. Let me ask you a question right now. Is the church any stronger since you've come to it? Is the church any stronger since you've come to it? Since you've been added to it? Do you bring a strength to the church? Because a core member, someone who's core, not crowd, not crust, will bring strength to the church. And I want to speak about, you know, like I said, how do we become core, journey to the core? I believe there's four lessons that we can quickly learn from Epaphras' life. The first thing is that it says that he is our dear fellow servant. And that word dear, what it means is that a valuable friendship. Epaphras had a valuable friendships in the church. If you're going to be a core member of the church, you've got to build valuable friendships in the church. If you've got no friends in the church, you'll never be the core of the church. That's just the reality. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have friends outside the church. We understand we need to manage our friendships. I had to manage mine. You'll have to manage yours. Some people that you used to have friends with, you've got to cut them off. Because those friendships, they're going to come in between you and Jesus. Listen, if you have friendship and, you know, he wants to sell crack at your house. How many know that? Listen, you can't be selling no crack at my house. And it, well, either I sell crack at your house or we can't be friends. We can't be friends. Just as simple as that. Well, yeah, I've known you a long time. Me and you was Cody. And listen, it doesn't matter how long we've known each other. We've got to make a stand. How many know that's gospel? That's just the reality. But we understand that there are other friends. But I want to tell you, if you're a Christian and you're going to make it for Jesus, if you're going to make heaven your home, if you're going to be an effective Christian, if you're not just going to be the crust of PHC Wandsworth, you're going to have to build valuable friendships in the church. He describes him as our dear, and then he goes on. See, the church should be a place where you're sharing life with people. You're sharing life with people. The church is not a place you attend. It's a place where you share life with one another. Now, I want to tell you, let me just give you like a parental guidance warning. It is difficult to build friendships with people that you didn't choose. I know you're like, you've got your halos on today, praise God. So you're like, no, it's easy, Pastor. No, I want to tell you, it's building friendships in the church is not easy. It takes a lot of Jesus. See, the friendships I built before I came to church were all people that were like me, and they like what I like, and they went to the places I went, and they were all like me. And when I come to church, I found people that, you know what? There are a lot of people in the world that are not like me. They're very different than me. But if you're going to be core, if you're going to make that journey from just being on the crust and moving in, you're going to have to build some valuable friendships. One of the signs that you know that you're backsliding is when you start to fall out with people in the church. Yeah, you was tight, you was there. And now it's like, no. And then it's like, hey, why are you not hanging up? No. And then bit by bit, becoming more distant, and you'll make that journey back out to the crust. Remember, crust is either you're on your way in or you're on your way out. And if you're new, then you're on your way in. If you're old, you're on your way out. Second thing, after valuable friendships, we learn that because he says, our dear, that means a beloved, a term that, you know, this person is precious to us. He says that he's our dear fellow servant. Not only has he built valuable friendships, he has joined in the serving or the service within the church. He's not just being served, he actually wants to join in with some of the serving. See, if you're going to be caught, it's not just about you receiving ministry. You've got to give some ministry. You've got to give some ministry. Now, you may be here like, well, what ministry am I receiving? Well, excuse me, you're receiving some ministry now. God is good. So doesn't a bare face you're getting preached to. These sermons, you know, I don't know, they don't just pop out the air. But not only that, the ushers are serving you. Yeah. If the people in the nursery are serving you. The people in the Koinonia Cafe serve you. And can I just, let me just throw something, just be kind to them, be nice with them. Amen. I'm going to behave. I could say some other stuff. What I'm saying is you're receiving ministry. Just for you to be here today in this building, somebody had to give. Somebody's tithes and offerings have provided for you to sit on these chairs and to listen to these speakers and to receive light. That's the reality. So you've already received ministry. And so some people will come to church for years receiving ministry. But the Bible says, listen what it says about this guy, Epaphras. He says, no, Paul describes him as this. He is a dear fellow servant. He's a fellow servant. He's one of us. As we're serving, he saw us serving, and something in his heart said, yeah, can I serve with you? Can I get involved in that? I don't just want to come to church and be served. I want to serve with you. I'm a fellow servant. Actually, when you do your Bible study, you will know that Paul uses this word many times. But actually, he never uses it for other people. He uses it for himself all the time. I am a servant. I am a bondslave. In Paul's vocabulary, this is one of the highest honors he can give somebody. To say, this guy, this is a servant of Jesus. This guy serves. That's the highest honor. In the world, it's so different. In the world, we seek to get people to serve us. That's why we go to school, to get good jobs, to earn good money. So we don't have to serve nobody. You will serve me. That's why we live. But when we come into the church, it's all upside down because God says, no, that's not real love and that don't make the world go around. What makes the kingdom increase is that we want to come in and we want to serve one another. If you're going to be core, you've got to be willing to serve. Remember, it's the core that makes the church operate. Some churches, they can have a lot of numbers in them. I heard of a church a few years ago, I had 16,000 people. 16,000 people. Listen, I was licking my lips. I'd be like, my, that's serious. Something happened. The council members had a beef with the pastor. They got rid of him. The church dissolved. Within a week, it dissolved. It dissolved, just dissolved. There was no more church. 16,000. Church is only as good as its core. A crowd don't make a church. Core makes a church. The third thing, he had a spiritual mindset about ministry. This is what it says here. It says that our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. A faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Epaphras had a spiritual mindset about ministry. His faithfulness to Christ would be manifested in blessing others. See, if you really are close to Christ and you really are desiring to please Christ, do you know how it's going to come out of you? It's going to make you serve others. He says, Epaphras, you are a faithful servant to Christ. That's what you are. Your faithfulness is to Christ, not to me, not to people. Your faithfulness is to Christ on their behalf. That means that it comes out of you by serving others and what you do for other people. This is very profound. And let me kind of home in on this a bit, because you're going to meet people that will tell you, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Listen, me and the Lord. Me and the Lord were talking. Me and the Lord. The Lord told me. And they're going to talk to you. And sometimes you could feel even insecure. Like, my days, that person just hears from God every minute of the day. But look at their life. How come all this Lord is not enabling you to serve others? How come all of this Lord is not actually coming out of your life to minister to others? To be faithful to the ministry. We've said this before, but it bears repeating. Every single one of you here have a ministry. Every single Christian here, you have a ministry. That ministry is to reach the lost, to let lost people know there is hope in Jesus, and to serve these other people, to somehow bear the burden of these other people, to bear their burden. You know, the Bible says that in Ephesians, that is the law, that you fulfill the law of God when you bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you see them struggling under a load, no matter what it is, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, you see them going through something and you want to come beside them and say, let me help you with that. Let me help you. Let me come and ease that burden from you. Let me do my best. I may not be able to do all of this or do all of that, but I can try my best to try and alleviate some of that. I don't just see that and let them go along and struggle. Why did I say it's a spiritual mindset? It's because many times is that people don't understand that real ministry is when that you're doing things for Jesus that benefit others. There's no good you doing things for Jesus and it benefits nobody. If you're praying a lot and you're reading a lot and it's not blessing nobody but you, there's something not quite right. There's something not quite right there. The last thing that we see is a quality in this guy's life. And we have to read Colossians 4 verse 12. And we find out Paul mentions him again later on in the letter. He says, Epaphras, who is the one of you, who's one of you. So we know that he was from Colossians. He says, a bondservant of Christ, greet you. Always, listen to what it says about him, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He is a person who prays for people. This is the key thing. If you're here today and you do not pray for people, you will never be fruitful. You will never be fruitful, man. You may have the best personality, but you can't personality people to love Jesus. You may be someone who has beauty. You may be someone who's handsome. You may be someone who's witty and you have skill and all of that. But I'll tell you now, it's prayer. And the Bible says, it describes this guy and it says, you know what? This guy has these qualities that he builds friendships in the church. This is what a core member. Are you core? Are you building friendships in the church? It says that he's a fellow servant. Are you always looking for opportunities to serve? Are you always looking for opportunities to serve? I want to just say this. True ministry is meeting a need. True ministry. When I came into the church, true ministry is meeting. Is there a need with the ushers? Then I'll meet that need. Nobody grows up saying, I want to be an usher one day. I don't know. Maybe there was somebody. You know, anybody here? You know, people. Why do people become ushers? We have a need. So many times people come into church. Well, it's just not my skill set, huh? It's not about your skill set. It's about the need. It's not about a skill set. Well, that's not really, you know. No. But is there a need? There's a need. This is why. I really like how Pastor Jamil carries himself. Obviously, many of you know he's a close friend of mine. But Pastor Jamil is gone, he's been involved in a few different ministries. And as I speak to him, I'll be like, did you really feel to go there? He said, I didn't really feel it like that, but there was a need. And each time he's made a move, his fruitfulness has increased and his ministry has increased. Because there's a need. Because you're meeting a need. Spiritual mindset towards ministry. But it all caps off with prayer. Think about this for a moment. And we're talking about people that are core or desiring to really be fruitful, to be an engine of the church. Not a talker. I mean, you could talk. Recently, I looked at I was reading articles about boxing and I kind of looked at that and I realized the whole thing is just hyping things up. It's like if you can hype up yourself the most, you'll get the most pay. People want to see it. And so it's like, how many of us shouldn't be like that in the kingdom? Where we just talk. It has to be, what are you producing from your life? This is what he says about his prayer. He says, he is always laboring fervently for you in prayer. Does that describe our prayer today? Laboring fervently. Do people see that, you know what, this man is a man of prayer. This woman is a woman of prayer. See, before you start giving people advice, you better, can you pray for them? People always want to give you advice. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't really do that. I won't really do this. I won't really do that. Okay, it's good. I'm glad for your advice. But do you pray? Because I ain't never seen you pray yet. Laboring fervently in prayer for you. And his prayer is not just, you know, Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God. His prayer is specific. Look what it says, that you may stand perfect. What he's saying is that I'm praying for you guys, and I go on my knees and I pray, and I sweat when I pray for you. I bring your name before God that you may be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy. That you would have something in you that would actually be able to make it. That you may be complete. That word complete, as we know, it means mature in all the will of God. This is what it means to be a core member of the church. And God knows that I'm praying for more Epaphrases. And maybe some of you right now, you're crushed. God is doing something with your heart right now. And he said, listen, I want you to be core. I've called you to be core. You've been crushed too long. If you do stay crushed too long, you will become crusty. Some of you are crowd. You're enjoying the ministry. You've been coming a while now. God says, listen, time for you to become core. Take those steps. Journey to become the core of the church. We need your hands. We need your feet. We need your talents. We need you to come in to the core. I was so encouraged last concert we had, because I came in and there was new ministry, poems and singing and you know, everything. It was just new ministry. How many know that's what we want? New ministry. We love it. We need a stronger core. I want to say this in closing. You become stronger core when you become more like Jesus. What we see in Jesus is what we see in Epaphras. Becoming a core member is not about impressing the pastor. That's not what it is. Now, I listen, people get it twisted sometimes. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to impress him. Yo, brethren. Listen, I'm not saying you have to call me brethren. We don't really respect you. No. I didn't say disrespect the pastor. I just said you just don't need to be pleasing me. Because that's not going to make you core. Impressing me or impressing the people of the church. Hey, bro, can you preach? Yeah, I'll show you how to preach. It's not seeking to be... the journey to the core, we're talking about being in the crust, the crowd, and becoming a core member and energizing the church. But don't see this as an organization that you come in at the bottom and you're going to make your way up the ladder. And the pinnacle is we get sent out. Listen, that's not the pinnacle. That's just starting a whole nother level, man, of washing more feet. God said, okay, wash a couple feet in the mother church, and you did that well enough. Then God says, okay, I'm going to send you to go wash some more feet. But these feet are going to stink even more. More stinkier, and these people are going to kick you while you're trying to wash. It's a whole nother level. Don't see it as like, yeah, I'm becoming the core. I'm moving up in the organization. No. Becoming a core member is that when we look at you, you look more like Jesus. See, that's what's going to make you core. It's not about adopting all the traditions of everything. Are you becoming more like Jesus? When we look at you, do we be like, wow, that's like Jesus? Because all of these qualities I mentioned, these are the things that Jesus would do. Let me read some scriptures. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love as no one is this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, you know what? I described the disciples as friends. Jesus wants a friendship with you. Jesus wants to pull you closer here and to make you his friend. This is a great privilege that God would actually come down to our level and save us and redeem us and then say, listen, I want to make you my friend. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus wants friendship with these people. Do you want friendship with these people? Listen, if they're good enough for Jesus, they're good enough for me. Huh? Some people, are, hey, they don't dress good enough. Listen, Jesus don't care about how they dress. If they're good enough for Jesus, if Jesus wants to be your friend, then I want to be your friend. How many know that's the truth? That we're building friendship. And the reason why it resists is many times. Let me tell you this now, why it's so hard for some people to build friendship. And I should have said this before, but I'm just going to insert it in there. And it's very simple. It's pride. But that wasn't even in my notes, so I'll just let you have that. And I'm going to go back to why Epaphras is like Jesus. We dealt with the friendship. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, this is the difference. When you come to church, do you come to church just to receive ministry? Or have you started to come to church to participate in ministry? Like Jesus. Jesus says, listen, I don't come to church to be served. I come to church to serve. Epaphras is like Jesus. John 17, 18 to 19, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus is praying to the Father, and Jesus says, listen, Father, you've given me a ministry, and I'm faithful to that ministry. And that ministry is to help other people in their ministry. Remember what we said? We said that to be faithful in ministry, to be faithful to God, means that I'm helping others. My ministry to God. And let me just impose this here. God is the one who's watching us all the time. See, God knows whether we're really faithful or not. You know, sometimes you could be at work and you just want to skive off. And so, you know, you're looking at Auto Trader, and the boss comes in, he's coming down there, you're like, click, he just minimize a window, put it up, you know. And so, you know, we can get away with that. It's not like our pay is being docked. We could just do those things. But I mean, you shouldn't be doing that in your spiritual ministry. Like, yeah, Pastor, I couldn't really be here, but you could have been there. You know. But really and truly, can I say this to you? So what if you trick me? Who am I? Think about it now. The reality is, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Jesus saw you. When he's like, bro, you could have, why are you not praying, man? Bible study leader, why are you not reading your text? This is the issue, is that we understand that the Father is watching me. Being a pastor is such a privilege, but it's a great responsibility. And so easily you can start to believe what people think about you as a pastor. You can start to believe your own hype and your own press. Pastor, you're so good, yeah. And so that's good. You know, people want to love and show encouragement. That's good. But I want to tell you this. You've got to be grounded and realize, hold up, God sees you, bro. God sees you. God knows what you're thinking about. God knows what you're doing. God knows how you're praying. God knows how you're reading. God knows. And it's that faithfulness to God that makes you real core. Makes you hardcore. John 17, 9. Last thing I want to say. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is praying. Jesus is constantly praying for us. Becoming a core member of a church, it's not like just joining some sort of club, social club. What it is becoming more and more like Jesus. That we would become more and more like Jesus. That there's things in your life that you're saying, you know what, I want to become more like Jesus. And if you're here, you're genuinely, you say, you know what, maybe you're new here. And you'd say, you know, I want that. I want to be. Listen, if you can just master these four things, very simple. Build friendships here. Build friendships in the church. Don't segregate yourself. No man is an island. People that segregate themselves always turn out to be weirdos. Always. Think about every time you ever hear a massacre. Someone would be like, oh, they seemed okay, but they kept themselves to themselves. the amount of people I've witnessed to, I've seen come to church, and then you see them on the street outreaching, and they're in some cult. Some sort of Egyptian square root of the pyramid. Revelation is backward, read it upside down type of thing. And they're talking. And many times you find people that came to church, but they never built any friendships, man. Because it will balance you off. Because when you would come to Bible study and you start talking that nonsense, Bible study, yeah. And your friends would be like, are you mad? You know what it says? Bro, let's read the scripture together. It keeps you, sis, are you crazy? How could you say that? Because you have friends. And you read it and you listen to it. You rebuke each other. You laugh. And you keep on the straight and narrow. And so this is what we're talking about here. Serving. Maybe there's some of you here say, you know, I want to be involved. I don't just want to be served. I've come to serve. I remember I was in church just a few weeks, and I remember Pastor Peter wasn't a pastor at the time. He was the head usher. And I just went up to him and I said, listen, how do I become an usher? I want to be an usher. Why? Because I saw them packing up the chairs after church. I was like, listen, I'm just standing there. I'm a grown, healthy man just standing there. I should not be just standing there laughing. I should be doing something. And so I was like, how do I do this? I want to get involved. He said, okay, just come early and help us. And I turned up late. Hey, but I learned, give it a few weeks, a few months, I don't know. Be faithful to your ministry. And most of all, be a man of prayer. Be a man of prayer. Be a woman of prayer. Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for your pastor? Listen, I covet prayers. I hope you guys pray for me, you know. I hope you guys, listen, people, some pastors ain't making it. I hope you're praying for me, not praying on me. I need your prayers. Pray for me, pray for my wife. Pray for us. We cannot do this without prayer. Jesus is praying for us. And so just to say, you know, God, I want to become more like Jesus. This is it. This is the last thing. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. If you're here, you're not saved, perfect, because you're in the right place. Give your life to Jesus today. And Jesus will get involved in your life. He will cleanse you from your sin, and then he's going to start to work on you. What he's going to do is he's not going to start to make you like me. That's not the goal. You may learn from some of the qualities I have. He's not going to try to make you like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. You may learn from some of the qualities they have. What he's going to do is this. He's going to try to make you like him. Because you were made in his image. There's something in you that yearns to be in right relationship with God. So the whole journey of life is this. Am I becoming more like my creator? Am I becoming more like Jesus? That's what God wants. That's what a Christian is. No, I believe in Jesus. I'm born again. Okay. But the process is that you would become more like Jesus. There are many areas that this will play out. With your marriage, he's going to make you more like Jesus. And we're going to talk about that in a week or so. When you're a parent, you're going to see things about being a parent where you're becoming more like Jesus. Where you realize, wow, this guy. But this is the place where God is designed. He says, okay, I want every human being to be more like me. And this is why he invented the church. Because it's in this arena where he's going to start to form you and make you and mold you like him. This is why he has the church. This is why it's our job to go and start more churches. Because if we don't go and preach the gospel and then disciple people, how are they going to enter into their destiny? I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.